I'm Jim Bonnick, Executive Director of Pastoral Education with the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod at the International Center. I was pastor for 24 plus years. I was district president in North Dakota District for 8 years, and I've been doing this for the last 5 years. I have a number of things in my job description, but the big one is the Church Worker Recruitment Initiative from the 2019 Synod Convention, raising up a new generation of church workers. So this is kind of a mix between an adult and a youth talking points, and so I'll gear it to both. One is to tell you what we're doing in church worker recruitment, and then some things talking about what are some church work vocations that you can be a part of. We're going to ask for like 10 minutes before the end, and so if you have some questions then, that would be just great. So I'm just going to jump in. First of all, on your backpacks, the tag is Set Apart to Serve. That's the program we're doing, and so even if you click on that internet connection at the back, you'll get right to our Set Apart to Serve in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. So I like to think we've got 20,000 Set Apart to Serve tags floating around here today and all this week. So please take a look at that. So what I'd like you to be thinking about, if you're an adult, certainly, what role do you have in forming workers for the church? And if you're a youth, thinking about, might I consider being a full-time church worker working in the church? Just a couple of things to get us started. We know Christ says that pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Jesus said that, 30 A.D.? We've been saying it because it's in Scripture, year after year, century after century, decade after decade, about considering church work and sending out workers into the harvest field. We get the question every once in a while, what happens if we have enough workers? Do we keep doing this? And we say yes, because Christ continues to open up opportunities for church workers. For instance, the Office of International Mission, I work with them, I don't work for them, but they're looking to recruit 80 new international missionaries just this coming year, and we don't have enough workers for them to do that. So it spreads nationally, internationally. The purpose of Set Apart to Serve comes all the way back from September 2018 when President Harrison, the seminary presidents, and some university presidents, if you've been by the university booths, Dr. Friedrich and Dr. Bowl and Dr. Dawn, others, we got together and we talked about what's the future of church workers. And we said we need to have a full-blown synod-wide church worker recruitment initiative, starting with our children and raising them up to a new generation. There are a number of church work vocations that you might be a part of. By the way, if you come over to the LCMS booth downstairs, you'll see Set Apart to Serve posters all over. And especially in the evening, we're inviting youth to come up. We've got church workers there talking about the possibilities of being church workers. So a number of areas in which you can serve full-time in the life of the church. That is one of the full-time professional church work vocations. One is the pastor. That's the one divinely mandated office by our Savior himself to be pastors and to proclaim the word through preaching, through distributing the sacraments of communion and holy baptism, giving pastoral care to his people. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod set up developed a number of other church work vocations that support the office of the ministry. Extremely important offices in the life of our church. They're a part of our fabric. So I don't know if any of you have considered being, for instance, a Lutheran school teacher. That's an excellent vocation. My wife is a Lutheran school teacher. By the way, we're grads of Concordia St. Paul. We have children who graduated from Concordia, Wisconsin. All the Concordias, wonderful institutions for developing church workers. Another one would be a director of Christian education. We have a lot of those here in the building. They do a number of things, but one of the main things is certainly the education in a congregation, and specifically oftentimes youth, working with youth groups. Another one is Christian outreach. That's evangelism, outreach, witnessing to our neighbor. The next one is family life ministry, somebody being in charge of ministry of families in the congregation. What's a mom? What's a dad? How do we live together as a family? Another one is director of parish music. So I don't know if we have any musicians here, but definitely needed in our church today to be musicians and church work. And then director of parish church ministries. That program's out of Concordia, Wisconsin. Most of these programs are in many of our, are in at least one of our Concordias, but the director of church ministries is just Wisconsin's. And then deaconess, certainly. Females who are serving other females, children, specialized areas in the church, for instance, the disabled and the elderly, a number of great ways to serve as a deaconess. Many of these, almost all of them, can be national or international. Here in the United States, at one of our congregations, or internationally, and there are great international fields for all of these. So what we're doing in church worker recruitment, Set Apart to Serve, is we got together and we have an outside firm called Standing Partnership. It's a $750,000 contract that we have with them out of St. Louis, and I and our communications department, we are working together, and we've divided our focus on three areas: children ages infant baptism through sixth grade, seventh and eighth grade, and then ninth through 12th grade. Let me just go on. So what we've learned so far, I'm not sure if any of you are considering church work, but there certainly is a deficit. In the last 15, 16 years at our Concordias, our Concordia universities and our seminaries, our enrollment for those programs are down on the average of 66.0%. So that's pretty significant. Also, the blue line is showing, this is pastors, so I'm not sure if any of you are considering being a pastor, but the blue line shows pastors for the last several years who are retiring or dying. The orange line are the new pastors coming out of the seminary in that given year. So you can see we're not keeping up with the deaths and the retirements. We're going to have a major shortage. Also, our statistics show that if we do nothing, and we're not going to do that, we're going to do something, but if we do nothing, we could go from 6,000 to 3,000 pastors in the next 15 years. We have we've done major research. We had another outside firm, Aslanian or Education Dynamics, help us with major research, researching our current church workers. So we had like 3,000 responses to this survey, and we did focus groups. And our research showed that the age of greatest potential influence was seventh and eighth grade. So our church workers told us, the years that I most considered being a church worker was when I was in seventh and eighth grade. That is largely due to pastor and youth interaction in the catechism program. Also, we are told that only 50% of all church workers are talking to our youth about being church workers. There's a number of reasons for that. One is they're just not doing it. Or it may be they're in an unhealthy situation. So that certainly is something we're dealing with as well, is worker wellness and maybe some difficult situations that current church workers are going through, like salary or a difficult congregation or school setting. So we're working on that as well, mental health, so on. The third part is kind of goes with number two. We're really not being intentional. So one that may seem like a no-brainer, and yet bringing this to the front of our congregations and our schools and throughout our synod, just making it intentional. I'm not sure if you've heard of Set Apart to Serve before you got here, but I'll have a slide later on. But we're working with, if you go downstairs at all the booths, almost every one of those booths, whether it be the universities, youth, LCMS Youth, Life Ministries, we're all working together on Set Apart to Serve. We're all working together. The entire synod and its leadership is working on raising up church workers through this initiative. Also, primary influencers, we need to, they've asked for resources. And so in our surveys, they said, we want to tell our youth about church work. We know that there are some difficulties, like how much does it cost to be a church worker? How much will they make once they're church workers? We don't have the answers to those. So help us find the answers, or help tell us the answers so that we can share that with our youth. We are also told, this is no surprise either, but 91% of all church workers said that being engaged in weekly divine service or the worship service on Sunday morning was extremely important in them being church workers now. That shouldn't surprise us for our theology either, because God, the Holy Spirit, creates faith through the Word. And so the preached Word of Word and Sacrament is certainly foundational, even at infant baptism. The primary influencers, we are told, number one influencer is the pastor in the congregation, our research showed. Another is commissioned workers like DCEs, Director of Christian Outreach, and so on, deaconesses. Parents and family are primary influencers, Lutheran school teachers, youth group leaders, peers, and certainly the National Youth Gathering. The National Youth Gathering, one, there's a number of things. This is an excellent event. So we're working with the National Youth Gathering people, Mark Kiesling and Juliana Schultz and all others. We said this particular event is going to be very heavily focused on Set Apart to Serve. So you'll see posters all over, your tags on your backpacks, coming into the LCMS area and talking about church work. So there's a great emphasis on church work in this youth gathering. What we've accomplished so far is we've sent branding out to throughout our synod, to our seminaries, to our Concordia universities, our districts. We've presented to the Council of Presidents, that's all the district presidents, 35 of them, for the last year at every one of their quarterly meetings. They've given us 30 to 60 minutes at every one of their gatherings. Now, that may not mean much to you, but at a Council of Presidents meeting, that's significant time. And so all the district presidents from coast to coast, from north to south, are very heavily invested in this church work recruitment initiative. Certainly our seminaries, they just put out a video this year for the district conventions. And at the end of their video, they've got a placard saying, Set Apart to Serve. So they're definitely on board. I went to four district conventions, Kansas, Minnesota, North, Wisconsin, South, Iowa, East. And the focus of those conventions and many others was church work recruitment. With our Concordia plans, LCMS Foundation, our Lutheran schools, of course, we're having that conversation with them. Higher Things, LCMS should be actually LWML, sorry. My acronyms get goofy sometimes. Noloma, our Lutheran school camps. I went to all of our Lutheran school or our Lutheran camps earlier this winter, and they said, send us the material, send us the placards and the resources, and we will push it during these summer camps. So I I think, you know, we see synod either sometimes working together or not working together. This is one area where we are definitely working together. We put together main messages that we said, all those places that I mentioned earlier, seminaries, Concordia, universities, schools, let's all use the same language. And so some of our language is God forms pastors through the church to proclaim Christ for saving faith. In other words, Christ in, or St. Paul in Romans says, faith comes by hearing. How are they to hear unless they are sent? They are sent to preach. Faith comes through the hearing of the word. And so we are using that language for pastors, that church work vocations are sacred and joyful. And you'll hear that come across over and over throughout the synod. Sacred in the sense that these are important positions. These are vocations in which we share the love of Christ for eternal salvation, passing on saving faith for eternal life from one generation to the next. And joyful in the sense of St. Paul saying, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I'll say rejoice. Where does he say that? In prison. You know, so there is a cross, there is suffering, there is sacrifice involved in church work, but that's okay. It's valiant, it's sacred, it's what the Lord calls us to do, or many to do. That God provides workers for his church through his people, through parents, through grandparents, through congregational members, through all the entities of synod, through our Lutheran schools. And so we're working together with all of them with this initiative. We are also saying that if one doesn't become a church worker through the work that we're doing, that's okay. Not everyone has to be a church worker. This young man up here was at Christ Academy last week, and a number of those young men at Fort Wayne said, yeah, I don't really want to be a pastor, but I want to be a faithful Christian. And we're going to rejoice in that, to be a faithful lay person, to be a faithful baptized child of God in Christ Jesus, wherever we are. That's fantastic. Set apart to serve, even though we share those statistics, that's not our driving force. We are not motivated by fear, but out of hope. We're not motivated by making sure a bunch of students enter our Concordia programs. We're not here to save Concordias. But our Concordias are definitely an instrument in which will be used to train people up in these vocations. We are doing church work recruitment because Christ commands us for the eternal salvation of souls, passing on the faith from one generation to the next. I'm going to pass these on. We have a website, Set Apart to Serve. It's on your tags on the back of your backpacks. If you haven't been there yet, I'd encourage you. We're building that website. We've got lots more to put on there. But even on there, those vocations that I shared earlier, if you say, now, wait a minute, what's a deaconess again? We've got little tabs. You click on the tab, and it'll give you just like two or three sentences of what those vocations do. And at the very bottom of our website, we give the listing of all the Concordias as to their admissions specifically to their church work departments, as to talking more to them about what it takes to be involved in a church work program. We've got videos. There's a little 3 to 5 minute video about church work on there from a DC, a pastor, a Lutheran school teacher, and there's a fourth one. And so watch that video if you're having like youth night with the youth. Or you can just watch it on your own. Just go to the website. What the Synod is doing, what we are doing from my end, is the very bottom. We've been asked to produce resources, to build awareness, to share statistics, to share how much does it cost to be a church worker, to share all the questions that are coming to us that we're asking for, and to build those resources for our congregation. So to the left, these are resources for the local congregation. And it's at the local congregation where our church workers are formed. You know, Synod can't do it. It's got to be parents, pastors, congregations, DCEs, grandparents. It happens at the local level. It's the building of relationships with our youth and having the conversation, one, about their salvation and eternal life. But secondly, you know, would you consider being a church worker? Hey, I think you've got what it takes to be a church worker. All those kinds of conversations. The right side are LCMS connection points, like the youth gathering, like Higher Things, like Christ Academy or Vocatio at St. Louis Seminary, like our Lutheran camps. So we're working with all of those entities as well, and we're amassing one big force, if you will, or initiative that we're all doing this together. And by the way, in building Set Apart to Serve, we didn't sit in an office at the International Center, but we brought in the district presidents, we brought in pastors, we brought in DCEs and deaconesses, all those entities that we mentioned earlier, and we grew this together. What we're working on right now is a pilot projects, and the pilot projects will be one pilot congregation / school in every district. And currently, we asked all the district presidents, 35 of them, to send in suggestions, nominations for a pilot congregation, and they can send in 3 or 4 nominations. We want a cross-section. Rural, urban, cross-cultural, large, small, congregations with a school, congregations without a school, a number of different kinds of congregations, and then we're going to have one for every single district, and then we're going to bring in a leader from each of those congregations, schools, into the International Center, do a couple-day training about Set Apart to Serve. And then we will work with that congregation for a year, helping build resources. They're going to help us test some resources. They're going to help build some resources so that in about a year, we can put it out to the entire synod. We are also working on journey maps. When are key influential periods in a youth's life that are faith formative? Confirmation is, kind of a no-brainer, but infant baptism, or the Lutheran school setting, or vacation Bible school, or a youth camp. When are areas of connection, and what's going on in the child's life developmentally, emotionally, typically of a child growing up, and putting together a journey map as to when are the best times and places to have the conversation and grow our youth to form them to be church workers. That's just kind of journey map. So that's the nominating of the program. Every district president, those are some of the examples I shared with you earlier. Sometimes I get ahead of myself. But again, all the district presidents are nominating. We just sent this out about 2 weeks ago. We're right in the middle of convention time, district convention time, and yet we've got 25 district presidents who have already sent their nominations into us. So, I mean, they're definitely on board with us. I'm not going to read all through that. That's just the timeline that we're working with our congregations and the things that we'll be doing with the pilot projects. If you've never been on Coffee Hour, KFUO, it's the radio station in St. Louis, but you can get it off a podcast, internet, website. We've also devoted every Friday at 10 a.m. You can go back and listen to them, too. You don't have to be on at 10. But every Friday at 10 a.m., we've got someone outside in the synod talking about church work experience. It may be a parent whose children are church workers. It may be a pastor who's encouraged someone to be a church worker. We have President Bull. If you've not visited President Bull at the Concordia, Nebraska booth, just go up to him and say, tell me your story about how you became a church worker. It's extremely interesting, and I'm not going to share it. He'll tell you. But he's going to be on Coffee Hour. We've had David Sanchez. I don't know if you know him from Iowa East. He's a camp director at Iowa DeSica as well, and he works with the district as well. He was on just last week. Just excellent, talking about how much it costs, some of the struggles, some of the joys. So I would encourage you to go to Coffee Hour. Coffee Hour is meant to be for a little younger audience, like youth up through maybe 30. Anyone can listen to it. But it's kind of that kind of format. It's got some cool music to start it out. What we're going to do next, go down to Concordia Publishing House and look up Jonathan Schultz. He's the president of Concordia Publishing House. They are working with us right now on developing a full-blown curriculum for Set Apart to Serve, from infant baptism through 12th grade. We're also talking to like LCEF of helping us fund it, but we're working on that one yet. And it will be a kit that will have reproducible items. It'll have the journey maps. It's part of our pilot project. The pilot project congregations will be testing some of these materials. We're trying to make it available either free or at very, very low cost to every congregation and school, which means we're working with donors at the same time. Oh, by the way, with the pilot project, we've got a donor who came to us and said, I will put up a $140,000 matching grant. It's cost us about $320,000 to do the pilot project. Not everything is built into our budget. We need donors to do some of these. He put up $140,000. We had another donor that came and said, I'd love to give toward that significant amount. So we've got a donor base now that's also very interested in church worker recruitment. This is too big to explain or to kind of read through, but phase one is everything I've been talking about. I don't know if you ever heard of Schwan, like ice cream? So they're Lutherans, right? And they've given millions and millions of dollars to the Synod. Well, 3 years ago, we went to Schwan Foundation, and we wrote a $125,000 grant. They gave it to us right away to get Set Apart to Serve running. The next year, we went to them and said, we'd really like another $125,000. They said, okay, we think this is a great effort. This year, we went to them and said, now we're ramping up our work. Will you give us $200,000? And they said, okay, with no questions asked. And then they came back to us, and they said, so you're only working with infant baptism through 12th grade. What are you doing with second career? And we said, well, we haven't really done much in that yet. And they said, if we gave you another $150,000, would you work on second career? And we said, well, we're not going to look at a gift horse in the mouth. No, I didn't say that. We took it, obviously. And so now we're starting. August is when we're going to go back and do some research with second career individuals. So we have phase two in the second career. The funnel is we're working with the seminaries and the universities of how do we get youth interested and encouraged to go to a Concordia University, to a seminary. That's the funnel area, so that we can make church workers, develop church workers who will share Christ crucified, so that they can then, to put an arrow all the way back up to the top, be key influencers with our children and grandchildren so that that cycle continues. We really kind of rested on our laureates for a number of years with lots and lots of children, with lots and lots of schools, and all of a sudden we're saying, wait a minute, we are not really prepared for the next generation. And so we're working together now and getting prepared for the next generation. This is just telling you, somebody was teasing me, I should have a t-shirt that says, I've been everywhere, man. I'm not the only one, obviously. You're all working very hard. We've got a number of people who are going to a number of conferences and conventions, but we're sharing Set Apart to Serve with a number of people. This is kind of my calendar. So now we're down into the National Youth Gathering and Display. I go to Higher Things the next 2 weeks as well. A little different format for youth gatherings, but great as well. And oh, by the way, like the National Youth Gathering, Higher Things, like they're sharing their lists with us so that we can pull congregations and we can pull youth and ask them if they'd be part of surveys. So it's just a fantastic arrangement in working together. So some of the, maybe we should start here, but one of the things that we're really talking about is we've had youth, we've even had adults say, wait a minute, my child can make much more money being a veterinarian, or can make much more money or have a much better house being a doctor or whatever it is, engineer, and that's okay. I mean, those are great vocations, right? When we're talking about church work, ordinarily, I've asked the question, how many church workers really do not have a house or do not have money? I mean, the Lord provides. It may not be, you know, the two or three homes, but it also is the one thing needful, that the gospel is extremely important. Even Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. And that's certainly the word of God and life and salvation. At the other end, however, we are talking to our district presidents and saying there are scenarios where our church workers are not making the money that they should be making. They're being underpaid. So we're working with that as well. Also, ways to form your children to consider full-time church work. It is under the theology of the cross. And we hear this from Jesus oftentimes about, I came to serve, not to be served. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Pick up your cross and follow me. And I think we have to be really honest. We've looked at like military slogans, you know, a few good men, the proud, the few. These are vocations of sacredness, of integrity, of manhood, womanhood, in the way that God has created us. And so I think we need to be very honest with our youth and saying, yeah, there is some struggle. Yeah, there is suffering. Yeah, the world is not going to look at us very fashionably. But we are doing the work that the Lord has called us to do for life and salvation. And I'm just going to skip that one. So just some ways to form your children to consider full-time church work. We're working on this. This isn't like the ultimate resource. But one is remind your children of their baptism, especially adults. Remind them who they are in Christ Jesus. I hear that theme coming through so much here just in this week, of remembering who we are, our identity. Have your children in weekly divine service for the preaching of the word, the liturgy, our hymnody, long gospel preaching, preaching Christ crucified, right? Have your children faithfully attend Sunday school. And it really is our responsibility as adults, as parents. I have four children. They're all grown now. I'm on to grandchildren now. It is our responsibility to say, no, it's not really your choice if you want to go to church or not. As a parent, we take our children to church, right? Especially at younger ages when we can still be very formidable in shaping our children. Teaching our children scripture and the catechism and prayer life at home, to learn the catechism and scripture by heart, that it becomes a part of us. I talk to youth here in this building. I talk to youth at Christ Academy or Vocatio, I'm sure at Higher Things, and they're very quick to share their faith. They're very quick to tell me that they've been brought up in the faith, many and most of them. Not everyone comes into the faith at infant baptism, and I get that. Sometimes it's not until elementary or senior high or 40 years old or 60 years old. Any time is wonderful. But if we can begin at infant baptism, that's where we really want to start. Have your children involved in church life, being a part of the music program, being a part of fellowship, being a part of servant events, and even being a part of the potlucks and the meals and the cleanup. We have, By the way, we have subject matter experts that we're working with across the synod that are helping with each of the age groups. And so it's like the young group, preschool, like how do we go up to a preschooler and say, I think you've got the qualities to be a pastor? Well, probably not. But what can we do at that age, right? And even as simple as having the children be a part of the congregation, moving chairs, helping to vacuum the floors. Now, I know that's not like church work directed, but we're having them begin to understand that they are a part of the body, they're a part of the church. Certainly having them in Sunday school and vacation Bible school and so on. Speak well of your pastor. We've had that from a number of our adult church workers that if they're not spoken well of, then why would the children want to be a church worker? So for instance, mom and dad go home and they say, that was a terrible sermon. I don't even like Pastor Schmidt. He's a poor excuse for a pastor. Well, as a youth sitting around the table, I'm not probably going to want to be a pastor, right? So building up our pastors, if he is having difficulties, then let's handle that scripturally, you know, one-on-one, Matthew 18 and all that. But honoring our workers as being a part of sacred and joyful vocations. So every October now, Set Apart to Serve is starting to do Church Worker Appreciation Month, not just pastor appreciation, but all of our church workers. We have resources on our website for that, and we're continuing to build resources. Treat your church workers well. We really do need to talk about salary and time off and caring for them and appreciating them. Have intentional conversations asking our children if they've considered being a full-time church worker. Inviting Concordia University or seminaries into our congregations or our districts to talk about the church work programs that they have. Setting up scholarship funds to help our church work student tuition. You can glance at those. Also, all of our Concordias right now are working on bringing the costs way down. For instance, Concordia St. Paul, to go into their pre-seminary program, it is tuition-free. Someone's paying for it, right? So we have donors. They're going out and they're working with Mission Advancement and donors. To be a church work student, so the besides pre-sem, it is a $6,000 cap. All the other institutions, Concordia, Wisconsin has a, forget what the exact name is, I should know, Luther Grant or something like that. There are other grants that are trying to bring the cost down. We are working with Set Apart to Serve with all of our institutions. As you know, our seminaries in the last 3 years, it's tuition free for our Master of Divinity program. That's the ordinary path in becoming a pastor. So we're really working hard at bringing those costs down for education as well. Pastors and church workers, caring for, showing interest in, and being spiritual mentors to all ages. I had just one pastor tell me this. I don't do children. I said, whoa, you really should do children. I mean, we have to care for everyone in our care. So that pastoral care, a pastor getting on the level of our children, our preschoolers, and being a part of their life, or when the dog dies, of paying special attention to that child and caring for them, and or grandma dies, or just constantly being giving pastoral care, or as a DCE, giving spiritual care. A deaconess, whatever it is, to all ages, from infant baptism on up. Encouraging and supporting youth going to youth gathering, higher things, Lutheran camps. And again, I'm not sure, it's a lot of work getting our youth to a youth gathering. And we're encouraging our congregations, hey, do you know what goes on at these places? Do you know the spiritual growth? Or how we're spiritually feeding our youth at these events, not just to consider church work, but to be Christian and to provide resources for our youth to attend these and for the adults, because many of our adults are taking vacation time or time off to be here with their youth, and are we compensating them to represent the congregation? Pastor and worker speaking specifically about church work vocations to youth in confirmation class. Again, that's a prime time. You've got one-on-one with your youth at that time. Maybe it's not every single time you're with them, but to have a unit or to talk about or to exemplify what it means to be a church worker and the joy of proclaiming the gospel, the joy of going to grandma and grandpa in the hospital and sharing the faith with them in their illness, the joy of having even a troubled marriage and inserting God's word into that and creating anew, just the joy of proclaiming Jesus Christ to God's people, and sharing what that joy is. Encouraging and supporting youth going to Christ Academy and Vocatio. Again, I went to Christ Academy. You should have seen the youth there. And I close your ears because I don't want to give you a big head here. This is what was going on at our seminary level last week. Young males, I was sitting at a table by myself at lunch, and they would literally come to me and sit there and talk about church work. They would talk about their faith. When they went to communion, this may not mean much to you, but I'll share the background. They came to communion with suit and ties on, and they went to church at St. Paul's downtown on Sunday morning with suit and ties. One of the things that I didn't share with you is we talked about development of a church worker. Spiritual development, we talked about that a lot. Being in the Word, being in the sacraments. Another one is character development. Developing our youth little on up to have integrity. For our men to be men, to our women to be women. Talking about virtue, talking about the fruits of the Spirit and the life of being a Christian. So I would get into the lunch line at Fort Wayne. The same was at St. Louis, but I spent a little less time with their group, just 1 hour. But I went to the lunch line. They say, "Oh, Pastor Bonnet, go to the front." And I said, "Oh no, I'll wait here." They said, "Oh no, we're taught to tell the adults to go to the front of the line." I mean, just the manners and the interest in talking about the faith, and that's what we're building. It's not just at Fort Wayne, obviously. That's what you're, my battery's going low. I should have done something better about that. If I die, that's all right. I'm almost done. That's what we're building. We're building confessional development, teaching the catechism, teaching the Book of Concord and the Augsburg Confession. Some of the youth over here were telling me, our pastor's taking us through the Augsburg Confession. That's fantastic. That's great. Intellectual development, not just spiritual development, but a desire to learn, a desire to know more about life, because you're going to be dealing with all sorts of different kinds of people on all different levels. Even synodical development, we've been raising our seminarians, and they've been going to the seminary without any classes on what it means to be Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and its governance and what's a convention and what's a district president. So we're building that back into programs of who we are together as a synod and our walk together. All right. I talked about a lot of these. What we're really after in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod right now is building a whole new culture, a culture of forming our children in the faith, of raising up a new generation. What we really want is for our youth, little on up, to look at their pastor, to look at a Lutheran school teacher, to look at a DCE and say, "I want to be one of those." And so it means exemplifying it, living it, teaching it, proclaiming it. So let's see what else I'm going to miss before. I'm supposed to show you that because I guess you're supposed to evaluate me. Well, who's considering church work? I mean, it's crossed your mind. Okay, great, wonderful. If you're not, that's okay too. I certainly don't ever want to make you think that's not good. That's great. Be faithful to the Lord and His Word, and that's great. If you are considering church work, you can talk to me more or come down to our booth where you see all the set apart to serve stuff. We've got every night, we've got really nice water bottles. I mean, not just plastic ones. These are really nice water bottles that we're giving away. If you want to, there's some literature there about my email. Email me. I'd love to continue to have a conversation. We're working now on our church workers that when we know that you're interested in like pre-sem, we're working on how do we support you on my level, like from the International Center, President Harrison or somebody sending you a card saying, you know, I encourage you to consider and keep going, and we're behind you, we're praying for you. So what year are you in, by the way? Great. Hey, it's so great that you guys, all of you came here today. If you're thinking about church work, continue to pray about it, contemplate it. If you have questions, come up to us at our booth and talk to us about it. And everyone you talk to for the next 2 days, tell them on Tuesday we're going to do this again, and they've got to be in this room, or else you know they're going to miss out on life, right? So anyway, thank you very much. Thanks for your interest.